Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is entitled, Is Your Trade Who You Are?
I'm going to speak from a topical message, but I didn't try to fit the Bible into my message. And God told me this morning, he said, it is your message about me, so be comfortable. Have fun. And then just waking up to this one smiling and just saying, babe, you're going to do great. Yeah, I'm ready. So I was studying one Saturday morning and meditating, and I had the thought about work in the Bible, right? What you just heard from Acts is you heard that Paul is a tent maker, was a tent maker. I also knew that Jesus was a carpenter. And I also knew that Matthew was a tax collector. But I didn't really understand how important it was for them to have those jobs, those trades, right? So I'm supposed to introduce the book of Acts. And a resource that I have is the Blue Letter Bible online. It's a really good resource. It has a number of speakers on there. It has a number of versions on there. And then you pretty much type anything in, and they can give you something what somebody has said about it. And it's just a really great resource. And what I found was, when looking at Acts, it said, based on its content, I would offer that following the purposes of this book, to record the establishment and early growth of the church. Other reasons could be given for why this book was written. The detail given to conversions and the involvement of the Holy Spirit would certainly suggest the book is designed to reveal examples of conversions to the gospel of Christ and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the apostles and the early church. Now, if you remember, P.L. had a message where he was saying that, of course, you know about Paul, you know about Peter, but you forget about that third person in the book of Acts, and that's the Holy Spirit. He's just all throughout, right? And I said that because Pastor Lawrence didn't look at this, but someone's already agreeing with my pastor saying, and so I just love when I see my pastor in line with the word, right? The value of Acts is also seen in that it provides the historical framework for the epistles found in the New Testament. From Romans to Revelation, names, places, and events are mentioned upon which light is shown by the historical account of Acts. Without Acts, the Gospel of Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John would be left without a satisfying answer to the question, what happened next? That ain't mine. Blue letter, okay? It's not mine. I had to say that, though, and it was really good. And so when you look at the book of Acts, I'm not going to clearly go through the whole thing, but the first part is their witness in Jerusalem. Then you talk about preparation, the establishment of the church in chapter 2, outpouring of the Holy Spirit in chapter 2. You get the church in Jerusalem in chapter 3, their witness in Judea and Samaria, preaching by Philip, conversion of Saul of Tarsus in chapter 9, the miracles of Peter, the conversions of Cornelius, their witness to the end of the earth in chapter 13, the first missionary journey of Paul. You get to the second missionary journey of Paul, and you get him having to leave his friend because of some disagreement. That always bothered me because I'm like, man, y'all couldn't come to an agreement? What if they would have stayed together? What would have happened then? And so you keep going, and the third missionary trip is after this right here. So it says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and he pretty much was staying here about a year and a half. I had to look, and I was like, that's a lot. That is a lot of information, and that's a lot to do. Traveling all over the place. One, now you got to humble yourself and serve people and lead people who you were killing. And so I kept reading, and I went to Matthew Henry's commentary on Acts chapter 18, and it said, it was very important to teach a trade to their children in the Jewish community. Listen to this. It said that not teaching a child a trade was like raising a thief. I have in my notes, say it again, and Pastor Lawrence just said, say it again, so I'm going to say it again. Not teaching a child a trade is like raising a thief. I remember Pastor Lawrence saying one day that if we aren't careful, we'll raise an atheist generation in the church, and I'll add agnostic to it, which honestly is actually like lukewarm. Because if you're in the house of God and you're saying, well, there's many ways to God and Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, but they can too. That's not what Jesus said. And then I begin to think about this right here. You ever had like a bug at a cookout fly in your mouth real quick? And you're like, I go to Revelations and we're laughing, but Jesus said that God's going to spew you out of his mouth if you're lukewarm. And so as I pray to God that we don't raise lukewarm and atheist in children, just think of that. God opening his mouth and spitting you out. There's only one place you're going when you get spit out. This is a sidebar. We're talking about the children in this season like never before, and according to Pastor Lawrence, and we're looking out for them. But I keep thinking about how much it takes to raise your children. So is it possible that our children are in the state they're in because they haven't learned to do something productive? Is it possible that they're looking ways to use their beautiful creative minds and brains that God gave them, but we aren't truly invested in their development like others are? I'm watching you guys raise your children. Danielle's pregnant, by the way. I'm joking. I'm sorry. A lot of folks are waiting for that. It ain't happened yet. No, not yet. But I look at how you guys are raising your children, right? And I see how you serve your children. And when you serve your children, I'm seeing you pick them up, drop them off, stay up late. I'm seeing you with their projects. Which is why Kendall can go to a track meet and she can run her heart out and not have to worry about where dinner's coming from. She can look to her father and not see an abusive husband. I'm looking at Malachi and Isaiah, see a man lead his family while having to pastor 150, 170, 200 people, regardless of where the numbers are, because that doesn't matter. I'm looking at all of the parents, and I'm just thinking, what is the church doing? We're putting the children on the back burner. But I thank God that I'm looking at you all, Elder Natira. If I start naming, I might miss Elder Quasi, you and your children, like Karina with four boys, and he's back here on the keys, so she's got all of them. I'm just looking at y'all like... He just got some cool points too, right? I'm looking at my godchildren, Joel and, Lord have mercy, that beautiful girl, JL. And I'm looking at them learn how to grapple with newborns, and golly, it's a lot. And so I watch some of you as how you raise your children, and I think, wow, this parenting thing is no joke. Train up the child. Some of you all are teachers and personal trainers, and that training and teaching process is no joke. But it seems like the devil is saying they think it's a joke, or at least they are a joke. He isn't saying, you we know, with a lot of parents these days. He's saying, who are you? And he's having his way with these children. This is not a toy. We give kids this, and they have access to the entire world. Unfiltered, unrestricted. And please understand, our children are smart. They are tech savvy. And so when you give a child this, you can put restrictions on it, but they're clever. Foolishness is bound where? And what drives it out? That means beat them. I love when Pastor Lawrence says it, forget being politically correct. Forget that. Politically correct raises atheists. Politically correct raises agnostic children. It raises children who don't know who they are, which is why they're so lost trying to figure out purpose. So I watched this video with my wife. And this is in line with the message, even though it's a sidebar. I watched a 6-month-year-old baby learn how to float. It is the funniest yet awe-inspiring thing, because they have the baby like this, and then she just flips the baby. And the baby's like, what? 6 months old, and he went from his stomach to what does that tell us about children? They can learn anything. So what are we teaching them? So I looked up occupations in the Bible because, again, like I said, I was looking up assignments and I was looking at jobs and what they're doing. And so here's my little wake-up activity. Pull out your phones and go straight to Google. And I want you to type in the search engine, occupations in the Bible. First person to see the number, shout it out. Shout it out. Somebody said what? 5,433. Y'all. 5,433. But you know what's funny about that? If you're not careful, you'll go and quote that and say, there's over 5,433 scriptures in the Bible about occupation. And you'd be wrong. I'm saying this to say, you all have to study. Because if you go and click on that link, it lists about 20. But see, that's what we are as Christians sometimes. We look something up, and that's it. We don't study. So if I was to get up here and say 5,000, blah, 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 some of y'all would look at me like, okay, just start listing some. I'd probably run out at about 200-300, maybe. And so again, that was a little joke, but it's so serious because we live off of sometimes what Pastor Lawrence says and we don't go any further. We live off of what we've heard on the message and we don't go any further. And so when I looked it up, I also saw this other resource, and I clicked on it, and this one listed about 120 plus, and I said, okay, let me keep digging. And the best part about it is it had the title, and then it had the scripture reference, all right? So you can go verify for yourself, because that's what the notes are on the screen. That's what they're for. It's to go verify for yourself. So we have Ambassador, apostle, archer, armor bearer, astrologer, athlete, baker, bandit, banker, blacksmith, bodyguard, bowman, brickmaker, builder, butcher, carpenter, chariot, driver, charioteer, cook, counselor, courier, creditor, cupbearer, designer, diviner, door. Hold on, wait a minute. Diviner? It's an occupation. Did you miss me when I said bandit? It's an occupation. Now, I'm not going to do that the whole way down. No, I'm not. But my Lord, they're copious. That's an SAT prep word, okay? So for those of you that, that means abundant, right? Plentiful, abundant, right? It's It's interesting. I looked at it. Do we have that first slide with the three types of jobs? I think you might have got it. I don't know. But I looked at this, and I looked at the three types of jobs. And I don't know if we actually look at it like this, because typically we think in two categories, sacred and secular. But there's sacred, secular, and for me, I'm looking at sinful. We got it? So you tell me, shout it out, sacred, secular, or sinful? Manservant. I love it. Thank you so much, Minister Naomi. I'm starting to get comfortable. She said, do well. Remember, you do this for a living. You're a teacher. It's just a different atmosphere. It's a different environment. So I love the looks that I'm getting on your faces, because that's letting me know as a teacher I'm doing a good job. If you have to go, let me think about that, you've already won your class over. Mason. Merchant. Robber. Prophet. Preacher. Officer. Should be sacred. Okay. Tax collector. Some of y'all said sinful. Hey, it depends on what time of year. Okay. I'm with you. What about this one? Philosopher. So, in other words, just like the etymology or study of words, you'll find out that words change over time. Because some of these used to be sacred and no longer are sacred. You know, it's interesting. That term, I think I was telling Daniel and Jordan this, but martyr, you guys think someone who dies for something. It's not what it meant back in the day. Back in the day, it meant to profess something that pretty much you believe in. But because they professed what they believed in, they were killed. So you can see how over history, you see, it's amazing when you just study the word of God. It comes to life for you. So I did that as a little fun activity, and I'm doing very well on time. I'm on page 5 of 7. Amen. You can go ahead and put the title up now. Is your trade who you are? So what is a trade? It's any occupation pursued as business or livelihood. Go ahead, shout out your trades. Teacher, lawyer, school counselor. Say it again. Counselor. What else? Pastor. What do we say? Enforcer, okay. Big sister, oh my. Pie deliverer, amen. Yes. So some of you are teachers, some of you are mechanics, pilots, authors, scientists, entrepreneurs, and you don't know it yet. Musicians, artists, architects, engineers, doctors, veterinarians, counselors, etc. All these things take what? They take time to do effectively. It feels good when you can say, I am a, you fill in the blank. It feels good when you think about it. You spent years at school to be able to say, I am, right? I am certified to do X, Y, and Z. All of these statements show you are able to do something in a specific field, right? And now you have a paycheck to prove you are a fill in the blank. It may not be much, but sometimes it might validate who you are. If the pay is good, then your lifestyle really reflects what you do, right? But what does this actually say about you? I see two basic things. I'm not belittling college, not belittling anything, but I see two things. It says you are capable of learning and capable of completing a task. Because you go to school, You sit, receive, then you give back. So you learned, you completed the task, then they gave you the paper. That's really it in a nutshell, y'all. That's really it in a nutshell. Can you complete a task? Can you retain some information? Can you learn something? So if you want to be an engineer, you go to school to complete the assignments and learn about the subject, to take a test. You know something about the subject. So you get the degree, and they say your task is complete. You did it. That's why a lot of people just stop after college, because they're lost after that. They don't have purpose, because they either went to the school to get a degree that they really didn't want, or they got a degree that they think they want, they thought they wanted. And so now people get a little prideful also, because you can put ER in front of them, I mean, behind different things. I don't teach, I'm a teacher, right? Or you can put an OR. I don't help people, I'm a doctor, right? No, I don't, I'm not just a public defendant, I'm a lawyer. Call me by my name. Call me who I am. I studied for this. And if you're Minister Naomi, don't say I do hair, I'm a beautician, right? Right? But what eternal value do these have? As Christians, what eternal value do these things have? When you've mastered them, you can tell people how to do them and get paid to do so. That's great, but the eternal value, where is it? Now watch this as I close. Paul was a tent maker, but there is only one scripture in the entire Bible, one. Matthew was a tax collector, or if you can't find that, publican. But again, there's only one scripture. Jesus was a carpenter. Still, only one scripture. The other scripture says, isn't that the carpenter's son? But there's only one that says, isn't that the carpenter? So, watch this, though. John the who? Oh, he knew who he was. He knew who he was. My job was not to make money. My job was to baptize people. And baptism back then, it wasn't for salvation of Jesus Christ, because he was coming, right? But it was to get baptized into this Jewish faith, in this Jewish religion, right? So that's what they did back in the day. Cleanse you of your sins. Now come follow God like we do. That was baptism before, right? And also to do some negative things, get proselytes and followers, and then some folks were negative because, again, you can't get away from selfish ambition. We're living in a sinful, fallen state. So many of the introductions say Peter and what? An apostle of Jesus Christ. Aquila and Priscilla were mentioned in this text that we have as tent makers, but everything else, it talks about their serving, how they follow, how they lead. I love that Aquila and Priscilla, because that's right here. We're going to lead, and we're going to talk about the word of God for the rest of our lives, and that's what we're called to do. So their trade didn't define them. They took their trade serious, but their new life defined them. Born-again Christians. I have a debate going with a coworker. He's of the Nation of Islam, and he loves to just try to challenge me. So where does it say in the Bible that you're supposed to be a Christian? I said, sir, that's so surface level. And we're cool, so I talk to him kind of condescending at times, just to be funny back and forth. But I'm like, really? A Christian is simply a follower of Jesus Christ. Are you a follower? Yes, I follow the teachings. No, you don't. Because you don't believe he's the Son of God. you believe that I'm the Son of God like he is, and we're on the same playing field. And so we have these conversations, and he loves to run me with scripture and say, but look at this scripture. And I've got to the point where I said, don't bring me another scripture until you've read the pretext, the post-text, the chapter before, the chapter after. And when you do that, then we can talk. Because sometimes you got to learn when to stop wasting time. You got to learn when to stop wasting time. Because I'm a teacher, but I also know who I am. We should be more proud of the ER behind follow. Let me say that again. We should be more proud of the ER that comes behind follow. We should be proud of being followers. So some of us need to make a change, because if we ask those around us what we are, followers of Christ is not going to be their first, second, third, or answer at all. And what does that say to us? Thank you, sir. What does that say about us? We'll continue to pursue our trade as our identity. And watch this. God will tell us to change, but we'll stay the same. And again, he didn't say change jobs. He said, no, change your mind. Change that. So this brings me to my first reminder. Don't give yourself grace where God is holding you accountable.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message, or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.